The Lord be with you. In our reading from 1 Samuel today, we hear the story of a woman named Hannah. And Hannah is in pain. And at first glance, it seems like Hannah's pain is because she wants to have a child and she doesn't have one. After all, it says that Hannah is married to a man and she also has a co-wife. And that other wife has many children, and Hannah has none, and it says that other wife torments and teases Hannah for not having any children. And we hear Hannah's husband say, "Well, come on, aren't I more than 10 sons to you?" And we hear Hannah pray to God for a child. And indeed, eventually, Hannah does give birth to a child, and she names him Samuel, which means God has heard, or perhaps God has lent. And so it seems like this story is about how Hannah finally gets her wish. She has a son and now she's happy. But that's not actually what happens in the story. Because if you read a little bit further than we read today, what happens is as soon as Samuel is born, as soon as she has this child that she has prayed for, the first thing she does is say to her husband, "Well, okay, once he's weaned, let's dedicate him to God, and we'll drop him off at the local shrine, and the priest there can raise him." And so we say to ourselves, wait a minute, what's going on here? If this woman wanted a son more than anything, why, as soon as she has one, does she give him away to God? And the answer is, Hannah is in pain, yes. But her pain is not for want of a son. Her pain is for want of validation. Now, in the ancient world, even more so than today, women were under incredible pressure to have children. A woman in the ancient world was literally worth her ability to produce sons. So much so that to not have a child was seen as a moral failing, was seen perhaps as God's judgment against a woman for her sin. And so for Hannah to not have a son is not just a failing perhaps to her husband, but it is seen as there is something wrong with her as a person. This is what gives her co-wife grounds to tease and mock her for her lack of children. And perhaps this is what hurts when her husband responds, trying to love her, it says he's generous to her, but when he sees her sad, he's like, "Come on, just get over it. You got me, isn't that enough?" Her husband doesn't understand her pain. He doesn't hear her. And so Hannah has no opportunity to be validated, to be understood. This is Hannah's pain. And the fascinating thing is, despite her co-wife's teasing, despite her husband's lack of understanding, we never hear Hannah respond. We never hear her speak up for herself. Instead, Hannah remains silent. She stops eating. It's as if she is willing to live forever in this pain. And sometimes that's what we do. We experience pain for so long, a pain that is demeaning and dehumanizing, and we start to believe that's where we deserve to live, in that pain. And the pain will start to tell us, "You have to put up with me. You have to put up with this pain, because if you try to change it, well, you risk losing what little you have." And so perhaps Hannah doesn't say anything to her co-wife or to her husband because she thinks to herself, "Well, at least I have a husband. At least I have some family. If I speak up and rock the boat, if I try to make a change, perhaps I will lose even that." And we tell ourselves that's what we deserve. It's as if we make a temple to our pain and we live in it. And I want to call this type of pain paralyzing pain. Because there is another type of pain as well. And it's the pain that Jesus talks about in our gospel lesson today. It is productive pain. You see, Jesus, he comes out of the temple and the disciples are so impressed by these giant buildings dedicated to God's glory. And Jesus says, they're all coming down. Every single stone in these buildings is coming down. And not just these buildings, but the nations that we love, right? Our own nation of Israel, it's coming down. All the nations are coming down. He describes the world as his disciples know it, being ripped apart. But he says, don't be alarmed. You see, for Jesus, this pain is productive because while the temple and the nations are good in this moment in time, they are good as a stopgap. We are called to love God and to love our neighbor, and the temple as an institution helps people love God, and the nations as institutions help people love their neighbor. But that's not the way the world is supposed to be. And God is creating a world in which we will love God fully, love our neighbor fully, without need for intermediaries like temples or governments, without church or state. But for the world that God is creating to come into existence, it means the world that we have has to cease to exist. And that will be a painful thing for those of us who only know and love the world that we have, even with all its pain. It has to be torn open so that something new can be born. Jesus says that tearing open will be painful, but it will be productive pain. For new life will come out of it. And indeed, the phrase Jesus used to describe this productive pain is birth pain. My wife gave birth 2 months ago. I've had firsthand experience of birth pangs. I was holding her hand the whole time as she gave birth. And I will say, just by judging the damage she did to my hand, it was a painful experience. But for as painful as giving birth was for my wife, I think I am speaking truly here when I say the anticipation was more painful for her than the actual birth. And part of that happens to do with just our circumstances. We took a class that was preparing us for birth, and I want to say, the nurse who taught the class had the absolute best of intentions. Like Jesus, she was trying to warn us of the pain that is to come. But what that meant was the class was 90% everything that could go wrong. Vivid descriptions and videos of C-sections and triage and every single device they might have to stick up inside her. And the message was, this could all go terrible, so just surrender and give up now. There's nothing you can do. That caused a lot of pain for my wife, and that pain was paralyzing because she was told, well, that's just, you're stuck in it. But when the actual day of birth came, she had a wonderful experience. I mean, as wonderful as it can be. When she started active labor, from the moment she started active labor to the moment the baby came out was 2 hours for her first birth. From the moment she started pushing, actively pushing, to when the baby came out was 10 minutes. The doctors were shocked. They were worried they weren't going to get there in time. And part of the reason it went so well for my wife is something called Braxton Hicks, which are contractions that happen earlier in the pregnancy. And these contractions are very painful. My wife was very grumpy for the second half of her pregnancy because these would hit at random moments. But what they are productive pain. It is her body practicing giving birth. It is the muscles strengthening inside her so that they know when the time comes for the baby to be born, they have the strength to literally tear her open and bring forth new life. Practice productive pain. That's what we see in the lesson from 1 Samuel today, because Hannah's happiness does not come when her son is born. It doesn't even come when she finds out she's pregnant. It comes earlier. It comes at a moment when she is willing to no longer live in her temple of pain, but rather to go forth and live in God's presence. And we see that in our reading because there comes a moment when the whole family goes up to this shrine in Shiloh to offer sacrifices to God, and they all offer their official sacrifices. And then it says that they go off and they eat and drink, and it's sort of expected that everyone's hanging out in the parish hall. But Hannah does the unexpected. She gets up. She walks away from the family, from the crowd, from the expectations, and she goes by herself into the sanctuary of the Lord. And there she prays. She offers up the prayer of her heart to God, because in this moment, she feels like she has absolutely no power in her life, but even when she has no power anywhere else in life, she knows she still has the power to pray. She has the power of prayer. And so she says to God, God, will you listen to me? Will you give me a son? If you give me a son, I will give him back to you. I just need to know that I am heard. But even in this moment of prayer, even in this moment of her claiming the power that God gives to each and every one of us, there comes a voice that tries to deny her even the power of prayer. And that voice comes from the priest of all people. It comes from Eli. And we learn that Eli is a terrible priest. Literally, the first thing that God will say to Hannah's son Samuel is to tell Eli that he's a terrible priest. So this terrible priest, he sees this woman in the sanctuary all by herself, and she sees that her lips are moving, but he can't hear any words come out, and he assumes the worst about her. Just instantly, he assumes the worst about her. He assumes she's drunk and just babbling and says, stop making a fool of yourself. Stop drinking wine. Get out of here, woman. And in that moment, having just been humiliated by God's representative, it would have been easy for Hannah to retreat back into that temple of paralyzing pain, to say, once more, I am unheard. Once more, I will be rejected and not be validated. I know how to do that. I can live in that pain. She could be silent in this moment, just like she has been with her co-wife and with her husband. But having claimed the power to pour out her heart to God in prayer, she claims her power to pour out her heart to this priest, Eli. She doesn't berate Eli. She doesn't respond to pain by dishing out more pain. She doesn't wait till he's gone and then go talk to everyone about him behind his back. No. She opens up with truth and also vulnerability. She says, I haven't been drinking. I am here pouring out my heart to God. Do not judge me. I am a woman speaking out of my anxiety and vexation. She is honest with what is in her heart. She is honest in a way that builds up herself, but also that gives Eli the opportunity to be built up himself. This terrible priest of God in this moment, thanks to Hannah's honesty and her vulnerability, to her outpouring, in this moment, Eli finally becomes an agent of God's grace. He hears Hannah. He sees her. He validates her and he says, may the Lord of Israel grant your petition. And in that moment, it says that Hannah's sadness leaves her. In that moment, she is satisfied. She returns to her family, and for the first time, she eats and she connects with her husband. And indeed, they have a son, just as she prayed. But Hannah's prayer brought her peace, not because she had a wish fulfilled. Hannah's prayer brought her peace because in that moment, she was willing to tear down the temple of that paralyzing pain and risk a new pain, a pain of being honest and truthful and having a hard conversation. And that pain was productive. She was heard. She was heard by Eli. She was heard by God. She was heard, perhaps for the first time, by herself. She was willing to risk handing her pain over to God, to the God who uses those moments of vulnerable honesty to tear down our false temples and give birth to new life. For that is what Jesus does on the cross. On the cross, Jesus takes all the sin and brokenness and pain of this world, and he doesn't turn away from it. He welcomes it into himself, not so that he can sit there and suffer for all eternity in our brokenness, but for that moment, he can die with it. And in his willingness to accept the pain of death, he produces new life. His death gives birth to the kingdom of God for us all. And so this week, I invite you, when you notice your own pain, to ask yourself, is this pain paralyzing or is this pain productive? Does this pain demean or does this pain build up? Does this pain ask me to stay and sit in it forever, or does this pain invite me to move through the discomfort to a new reality? And then ask yourself, if you address with vulnerability and truth your pain, what will be torn down? And what might be born? May God give us the strength to tear down our paralyzing temples of pain and practice being in the presence of God, so that when God tears down all that is temporary in this world, we might rejoice at the new life that Christ has given birth to. Amen.